Good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Before we get into the word this morning, I want to remind the church that this coming Sunday is our Christ's birthday offering, where we come to the Lord and bring a sacrifice unto the Lord. And what I want to do is I want to share a couple pictures of your church and how we are reaching different groups of people in the community. Many of you or some of you may not know to the extent how we impact different groups from or in the community. So let me just show you before we get into the word this morning. I want to show you this first picture, which is our widows ministry. This year, we launched a widows ministry, and I'm super excited about that because in the scriptures, there's about four categories of people, or three or four categories of people, that is near and dear to God's heart. One is the poor, one is prisoners, the other one is orphans, and then the other one are widows. And so I believe as a church, we should be ministering and giving fresh hope to those that are in pain. Amen? Someone say amen to that. So super excited about our widows ministry. We actually sponsored their tea. That was their tea a couple days ago. And then the next one is I want to show you is our deaf ministry. This year, as a church, we sponsored the Deaf Men's Conference, and deaf men from across Southern California came to Chapel of Change, and we got to minister to them. We got to preach to them, and I don't know if you realize it, but at 12:30, our messages, our worship service is translated into ASL, and we are actually experiencing a revival amongst the deaf community in this area, and we have lots of deaf people that are part of our church, serving our church, and our leaders in our church. The next picture is I want to share with you is our ministry to the skate park. This year, we were able, by the generous giving of our church family, we were able to purchase a ministry truck. So you could see it in the background, and the side comes down, and we actually have church wherever we want to have church. Somebody should have said amen to that. And we actually went to the skate park, and we shared Jesus, and people gave their life to the Lord. We got to pray for the youth right there. We gave them, water and chips, but more importantly, we gave them the gospel of Jesus Christ. The next slide I want to show you is our ministry to kids. This is our Whittier campus that we launched about 7 months ago, and we're reaching kids. We're teaching them about Jesus and the principles of God in this kingdom. And that's just one service, but we reach kids all throughout Paramount, Long Beach, and Carson. And one of the biggest epidemics in LA County is fatherlessness. Over 60% of kids tonight will go to sleep in a home without a father. And we believe that the church, particularly Chapel of Change, is filling in the gap. And we're reaching kids that don't have fathers, and many of them don't have mothers, but we're helping them to learn about Jesus Christ. Somebody should have got excited about that. And then I want to show you another picture of our Merced campus. About a month ago, we launched our new Merced campus. It is on Sunday nights at 5 p.m. This is a picture of somebody getting prayer, and we are reaching lives in the city of Merced. Our team is out there preaching the gospel, reaching kids. I'm encouraging the whole church. We've already had people from our church we're grateful for that have went up there and supported them in their services on Sundays at 5 p.m. But this is part of what your church is doing to expand the kingdom of God. So I believe that when you give to Chapel of Change, you are giving into good ground. Does anybody believe that today? You're giving into good ground. So Wanted to show that to you because next Sunday we're coming with an offering unto the Lord. Now, this morning I want to talk to you from the subject having a merry heart. Having a merry heart. And Little Raymond read the passage of scripture that we are going to be referring to this morning. And I want to open up by reminding us that we gather together during this season in part to remind ourselves what the reason for the season is. That's one of the reasons why we gather together, to remind ourselves that Christmas is about Jesus. Someone say Jesus. Christmas is about Jesus. Christmas is not about Santa Claus. Christmas is not about reindeer. Christmas is not about Christmas trees or eggnog, right? Christmas is about Jesus. And I want to encourage you this season, as you know, a family or at your home or in your devotional life, to go back to the birth of Jesus and read the stories around the birth of Jesus. There are stories and events that took place around the birth of Jesus that teach us valuable spiritual lessons that will strengthen your faith. And today, I want us to learn some lessons from Mary, the mother of Jesus. Someone say Mary. Now, when you think of Mary, no doubt Mary is the most famous mother in all of history. She is a person who stands out for her courage. She is a person who stands out for her faith. She is a person who stands out for her ability to endure horrible circumstances and situations. But at the time that the angel first meets Mary in Luke chapter 1, that the passage that Raymond read, she's not even at this time a mother yet. At this time, she's not even a grown lady yet. When we first get introduced to Mary in Luke chapter 1, she is actually a poor, peasant, uneducated, probably many scholars believe at this time she is 13 years old. So she's not a grown adult at this particular time. She's actually a young girl. And on top of all that, she comes from a small village that many people look down upon. She comes from a village called Nazareth. Someone say Nazareth. At this time, in this culture, Nazareth was an insignificant place that had a bad reputation. It was a town of ugliness. In fact, the people from Nazareth at this time were known as Nazarenes. And that term at this time, Nazarenes, was an insult. It was like saying you are nobody and you come from nowhere. Anybody remember the question that somebody posed in John chapter 1 verse 46 when they said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Anybody remember that question? That wasn't a compliment. That wasn't a badge of honor. In other words, it was saying nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Yet, what's interesting is that this uneducated little girl from nowhere teaches the world about strength, teaches the world about faith, teaches the world about courage. God uses her life to teach us about faith, courage, and strength. God uses her life to teach us to trust in God. He uses this little girl to teach us how to trust in God. Now, when you think about it, and you read more about God throughout the whole Bible, isn't that like God to use someone whom society looks down upon to teach the world a lesson? Isn't that like God to use the weak to teach the strong a lesson? I love that about God, that oftentimes God uses those whom society rejects, whom society looks down upon. He uses the weak to teach the strong a lesson. And in many ways, that's what God is doing at Chapel of Change. God is receiving broken people. God is taking in hurting people, and he's filling us up with his spirit. He's filling us up with his word. He's filling us up with strength, and he's teaching the world a lesson on how to trust in him. God is showing us how to trust in him. And he's using us to show the world what it means to be strong in the Lord. Now, this is one of the reasons why I'm excited to serve Jesus. One of the reasons why I'm excited to serve God is because he regularly takes the rejected, the hurting, the outcast, and he uses their life to teach the world a lesson. I think back in my life, just in this year, I've been in some rooms and in some circles with powerful people and educated people and influential people, in so much that I'm thinking in my mind, how in the world did I get here? I've been in some circles this year that God has ushered me in where I thought, man, I better keep my mouth shut and just act like I belong. I remember a couple months ago, I got a message from my pastor. My pastor is a man by the name of Larry Wachemeyer, and he's actually Dr. Larry Wachemeyer, and Azusa Pacific has named him one of the most influential graduates from their university, and he's not just a regional leader, but he's a national leader, meaning he has national influence. And a couple months ago, he communicated with me. He said, Brian, I was scheduled to be on this panel and to do an interview with some people, but unexpectedly, I cannot make it. And would you be willing to sit in my place? And kind of just out of excitement, I said, yeah, I'll sit in your place. Just tell me where to go and tell me where to sit. And I want to show you this picture because I got called to this panel, and this is before the interview took place, but I was sitting down, and I looked to my left, and there was this scholar. I looked to my right, and then there was this one of the most prominent preachers in the nation, and then I was sitting next to this superintendent, and when they proceeded with the interview, the panel interview, they begin to talk about these deep theological issues, and they begin to talk about what happened to the church 100 years ago, and then they begin to talk about what the church is going to look like 100 years from now. And all along, I was smiling, thinking in my mind, I hope they don't ask me a question. Sometimes you got to fake it till you make it. And I was inside, I was just like, Lord, please. Don't have them ask me what seminary I graduated from. Don't have them ask me what high school I graduated from, because they're seminary graduates and they're university graduates, and I might have to tell them that I graduated from the School of Hard Knocks. But I will say this, that when they did turn around and ask me a question, I don't even know how it happened, but I felt the Holy Spirit come upon me, and I began to say some stuff that I didn't even know I understood, that I didn't even know I knew. But isn't that like God, right? To take the weak and to teach a lesson about what it means to be strong. So this morning, I want to pull out some reflections on Mary, because her response teaches us some lessons. Her response is a model for us to follow in this season as we go into the new year. Now, we often talk about having a heart like King David, and we often talk about, hey, we need to follow after God like King David, but I want to suggest to you that we also need to follow after God like Mary. I want to suggest to you that not only do we need a heart like King David, but we also need a heart like Mary. Someone say Mary. So let me bring out a couple reflections off of the scripture that Raymond read to us this morning. Here's the first thing that I want to pull out. Someone say number one. Mary let God disrupt her plans. Mary let God disrupt her plans. I want you to notice that in verse 26, in describing Mary, it says that Mary was pledged to be married. She had plans to be married. She was engaged. I don't know if you ever planned for a wedding before, but there is lots of effort that goes on in planning for a wedding. Now, I want to kind of draw our attention that before the angel shows up, Mary had her own plans. She had her own dreams. She had her own aspirations, right? Now, the Bible uses this word in the New King James Version that says she was betrothed. She was betrothed. It's a big word, an old word that basically means she was engaged. Now, I don't know the details. We don't know the details. Maybe she had dreams of having a nice little home with a white picket fence. Maybe she had dreams of having a quiet little life with quiet little kids. I don't know. Maybe she had dreams of being a real estate agent or a nurse. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that God shows up with the messenger of the angel and disrupts her plans. God disrupts her plans. God turns her life upside down. Now, when you study the methods of God all throughout the Bible, we see this over and over again. When God shows up, he often disrupts our plans. You better be careful asking God to intervene in your situation. You better be careful asking God to help you, because oftentimes he doesn't help you the way you think he should help you. We see this in Abraham. He tells Abraham in Genesis 12, he says, I'm going to make you great, but you're going to have to leave your family. I'm going to make you a great nation, but you're going to have to go to a country that you don't know about. We see this in Joseph. Joseph has a dream of power. He has a dream of having influence, but then God disrupts his dream. So this is what I want us to think about as we go into the new year, my brothers and sisters, is what do you do when God's plans collide with your plans? What do you do? What do you do when you set out to do your own thing, but God asks you to do his thing? What do you do? What do you do when you have your monthly budget set out and you have your finances all planned out for a month, but then God teaches you that you should be tithing? What do you do? What do you do when you expect to sneak into church and to sing a couple songs, listen to a sermon, and then go about your life throughout the rest of the week, but then God pulls upon your heart to serve? What do you do when God's plans collides with your plans? Mary's heart allows God to disrupt her plans, and it empowers her to be a blessing to other people. I want to warn some of y'all in advance that in 2020, God is going to disrupt some of your plans. Just want to warn you in advance. Some of y'all, God has already disrupted your plans this year, and he's stepping back, and he's going to watch how you respond. Will you choose his will or your will? Will you choose his way or your way? Mary lets God disrupt her plans. Number two, someone say number two. Mary presses through the stress. Verse 29, it says, Mary was greatly troubled by his words. That word trouble means stressed out. Mary was stressed out. Anybody stressed out today? Right? So no doubt the whole first Christmas experience stressed Mary out. It stressed her out. Now, I want you to get this, because I've learned something off of God's word and also through experience, that sometimes God's favor doesn't feel like favor when you first get it. I want you to learn this because I've found this to be true in the scripture, and I found this to be true in real life, that sometimes favor doesn't feel like favor when you first get it. Now notice, The angel told Mary, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you." What? The angel? That's not even a preacher. It's an angel that says, "Rejoice, highly favored one." One would think that at that moment, everything would have went well for Mary. Comfort would have came into her life. Joy would have came into her life. Prosperity would have came into her life. Man, the angel just told her, "You're highly favored." But no. In fact, her unexpected pregnancy caused her great grief. She could have been stoned to death when they found out she was pregnant. Her fiancé initially talks about leaving her. It doesn't matter if he left her or not, but when your fiancé even talks about leaving you, that brings stress. Hello, somebody. Eventually, while pregnant, she rides, presumably on a donkey, for 10 days to get to Bethlehem to give birth to Jesus. Can you imagine being pregnant and riding on a donkey? Some of y'all don't even want to ride Uber, right? She rides on a donkey, presumably, for 10 days. Uncomfortable. What happened? I thought God was with me. I thought I had the favor of God. When she gets to Bethlehem, there's actually no room for her in the end, so she got to give birth to Jesus in a stinky, barn-like environment. Listen, sometimes favor doesn't feel like favor when you first get it. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. That's why we don't throw in the towel. That's why we don't give up. You got to give God time to work that favor out in your life. Mary, she pressed through the stress. Now, life with Jesus is not about avoiding the stress. Life with Jesus is not about ignoring the stress. Life with Jesus is not about a stressless life. Life with Jesus is about walking in the power of the Holy Ghost right into the stress and pressing through the stress. Someone say amen to that. Life with Jesus, I would suggest to us this morning, is sometimes about being stressed and blessed at the same time. I want to suggest that to us this morning. That life with Jesus sometimes is about being stressed and blessed at the same time. And I want to let you know this morning that that's okay. That's okay. I think sometimes we try to sanitize Christianity. We try to put on a mask and we ask, "How you doing? I'm blessed. How you doing? I'm blessed." No, you're not. You could tell all over your face. You could tell all over your Facebook post. You're stressed out. Something's wrong. Listen, at times, it's okay to be stressed but blessed at the same time. But that's why we don't give up. We press through the stress. Thirdly, someone say number three. Mary followed God with a willing heart. Notice verse 38. Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Now remember, this is presumably a 13-year-old girl who's about to go through some stress. She's about to go through a major trial. And this unexpected pregnancy has caused her great grief. She could have been rejected by her family. She could have been stoned to death. Yet she turns to the angel and says, "May it be to me according to your word." Wow, what a willing heart. No murmuring, no complaining, no griping. What a willingness to embrace the mystery of God's plan for her life. Mary allowed God to have his way in his life. What makes Mary a model of faith is her willing submission to the will of God. Yes, Mary was chosen, but she also accepted the call. She cooperated with God. I wonder how many people woke up this morning and the Holy Spirit was tugging them to go to church and to worship Jesus and to be with the church of God this morning, and they did not cooperate with God and they're still in their bed right now. I wonder how many people in our cities are not cooperating with God. They have a call of God on their life, but they are not cooperating. Listen, God is not looking for your strength. God is not looking for your intelligence. God is not even looking for your money. God is looking for your willingness. He's looking for your willing submission to his plan. I'm going to read to you. You don't have to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. Listen to this. In its original, in its immediate context, it's dealing with a financial gift, but I believe the principle applies to life in general. Listen to what God says. If the willingness, someone say willingness. If the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Listen to this. If the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. God is not hung up on what you do not have. He is not looking for your strength. He is not looking for your intelligence. He is not looking for your money. He is looking for your willingness. If you can come to God with a willing heart, he can make a miracle out of your life. When I came to God, when I surrendered to God at the age of 17 years old, I didn't have nothing. I was nobody with nothing. No money, no clout, no friends. I had nothing. All I was able to give to God was my willingness. Lord, here's my life. I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to make the hard decisions. I'm willing to sacrifice. I have nothing but my willing heart. And out of that willingness, God birthed a miracle in my life. And I stand before you today as a father. I stand before you today as a husband. I stand for you today, before you today, God, in the name of Jesus, as an honorable person before you today. Why? Because it started off with me just giving God a willing heart. A willing heart. So the question for us, my brothers and sisters, is are you willing to follow God with no strings attached in 2020? Are you willing to serve the Lord with no strings attached? That same baby Jesus eventually says in Matthew 6:24, he says, if anyone wants to be my follower, you must. That's not an option. You cannot vote on that. He says, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. Listen, selfishness will sabotage God's plan for you. Selfishness will sabotage God's miracle for you. Selfishness will derail you. Every day we must wrestle down selfishness in order to follow the path of the cross. The Bible calls it, we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ lives inside of me. My brothers and sisters, as we go into 2020, the question before you is, will you serve the Lord with no strings attached? Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as the worship team comes back up and plays lightly, I want us to think about that question this morning. While everybody remains seated in an atmosphere of reflection, let us think about, are you willing to serve the Lord in 2020 with no strings attached? Let us bow our head. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there anybody here who has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Or maybe you backslid and you need to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ today. I believe that God has been working on your heart even before you got here, and He's calling you into His kingdom. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you need to surrender to the Lord for the first time or rededicate your life to the Lord, I want to lead you in a prayer. I want you to end this year strong with Jesus inside of you. If there's anybody who needs to surrender for the first time or rededicate your life to the Lord, lift up your hand right where you're at. I'll just pray a prayer of surrender. I see your hand in the back. I see your hand in the back. Anybody else who needs to surrender to the Lord for the first time or rededicate your life to the Lord? I see you. Man, God is calling you. God is calling you. Lift up your, keep your hand up. God is calling you. God is calling. I want to pray for you guys up at the altar. If you lifted up your hand, come to the altar. I want to pray for you. I want our leaders to pray for you. If you lifted up your hand and you need to surrender to the Lord for the first time or rededicate your life to the Lord, come to the altar. I want to pray with you. I want to lead you in a prayer of surrender. And I want our leaders to pray with you. Come to the altar right here. Come to the altar. God is starting something new. Come on this side. Come on this side. God is doing something new in your life. Come to this side. God is doing something new. Yes, yes. You want to surrender to the Lord. Come to the altar. God, you want to surrender to the Lord. Come to the altar. Come on this side if we got room. I want them all on this side. Surrender to the Lord. Yes, yes. God is calling you. Serving Him with no strings attached. That's the word. No strings attached. Yes. Surrender to the Lord. Get ready for the new year. Repenting from our sins. Repenting from our sins. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Pastor Tino to come up here, and she's going to lead you in a prayer of surrender. She's going to lead you in a prayer of surrender. And our leaders are behind you. They're going to just pray for you. I want everybody that is in your seats just to remain in an atmosphere of prayer. They need our help. Not only are they going to surrender to the Lord, but we're going to pray that God strengthen them. So everybody in your seats, just remain in an atmosphere of prayer for a couple moments. Pastor Tina will lead you in a prayer of surrender. And then we're going to pray for you that God strengthens you.
Thank you for taking a step of faith. God's already worked in your heart, and so I want to lead you in a prayer. Just mean this with your heart. There's one requirement, God says, is to repent. Say repent. That's a Bible word that means a change of mind resulting in a change of direction. But you can't do it on your own. You need the Lord. Amen. And so we have a lot of people here praying for you and just supporting you in prayer. But I want to lead you in a prayer, because I got a feeling, I kind of know what you want to say. We've all been there, Pastor Brian, all of us. We've all prayed a prayer similar to this. But mean this with your heart, okay? Amen. The Bible says you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And all it takes is you just trust in Jesus. So let's pray. Wrap your heart around this prayer in Jesus' name. Say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I repent from my wicked ways. And I turn to you. I look to you as my Savior. I need you, God. I need your help, Lord. Not only to save me, but help me to walk in your ways. I thank you that I'm not alone. I have your Holy Spirit with me. And you're going to make me all that you want me to be by your power. Thank you for forgiving my sins. I confess it to you now. I am weak. You are strong. I trust you, Jesus. Save me now. Restore me now. In your name I pray. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Stay right here for a second. Pastor Terry, come up here. We want to pray that God strengthen you. Some of y'all are struggling with certain things. You're struggling with habits. And listen, you get saved in a second, but your process of restoration is a process. It's a process, but it's going to start now. God is going to give you strength to say no, but you got to say it. God is going to give you strength to say no, but you got to say it. He's going to give you strength to say no. He's going to give you strength to say no. He's going to give you strength to say no. So we're going to just pray that God give you strength. Then I'm going to give you a last word after Pastor Terry.
Father, we stand before you right now. You see every heart, God. Every struggle, God, you've seen it. But God, today we pray for their strength. God, we pray, God, that you give them strength, God. God, I pray, God, that you give them new desires, God. God, give them new taste buds, God. God, give them new direction, Father. God, you see every weakness, God. But God, today we call upon you for your help, for your strength. So God, I pray even now, God, that you would touch them right now. Give them strength, God. Whatever they struggle with, God, I pray you would strengthen even now. Help deliver, God. Help set free, Father. In the name of Jesus, God, set them free, Father. Set them free, Lord. Give him what he needs, Father. In the name of Jesus. Oh, strengthen right now. Strengthen, Father. Yes, Lord. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive his power. Receive his power right now. In the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it now. In the name of Jesus. God, you see this young man. You know his heart, Father. God, we stand before you for strength. We call upon you, God. Every weak area, God, I pray, begin to strengthen right now. Help him, oh God, just be able to submit to you, God, to lean to you, to trust you, Father. In the name of Jesus, receive it now. In the name of Jesus, give strength. Give strength. Yes, oh God. Strengthen right now, Father. In the name of Jesus, you see, oh God, do it for right now, Father. Do it right now, Lord. That's it. Receive it right now. In the name of Jesus, strengthen, strengthen, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise.